would like to take their palm branch or their voice and give God the praise today for something that He has done, and He is worthy of praise. And you just need to, in the crowd, rejoice and celebrate and share and say, God, look what You've done. This is what the Lord has done. Here's my Hosanna, my shout of joy. Does someone have a shout of joy, a Hosanna, a praise, a thanksgiving? Let's come forward to give our tithes and offerings and gifts unto the Lord and celebrate by worshiping Him and giving. Amen? Part of our worship. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we are thankful, O God, for Your goodness, Your love, Your grace, and Your provision. You have provided all things. Lord God, glory to Your holy and worthy name. Lord, we realize today that not all the world is living in the kind of blessings that we live in. And so we are thankful, Father, and we pray for our brothers and sisters again, Lord, all over the world, as the gospel is shared, that God, You would empower the church to be the church. Lord God, we thank You. We are thinking this morning in prayer for Pastor Losada in Cuba, and we again extend our prayers for the work of God in Cuba. Father, we pray, Lord, for our missionaries all over the world that we support, and the missionaries that we support here in Canada in various missions, the food bank, the House of Lazarus, the local ministries that we support here to feed the hungry. We think of, Lord, each one. We ask, O God, Your blessing upon them, Father God, upon this nation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have no right.
what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.
Lord, in your name, we do all. For whatsoever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan's going to come and lead us in the responsive reading, number 638.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent the two disciples, saying to them,
Go to the village ahead of you,
and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet, the Nazareth in Galilee. Amen.
Lead us in prayer, Pastor. Sure.
Father, I thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you for just the memory of what today holds for us as a people. Thinking back to really our Savior, our hero, our healer, our Lord, who literally was just near the end of his rescue mission, Lord. And I'm just so thankful, Jesus, for what you did for us, for knowingly embracing the suffering, Lord, to set us free from our suffering, to set us free from our pain and our bondage, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you willingly entered into these things because you loved us, Lord. And I pray that this morning that we would just tune our ears and our hearts into what it is that you would have to say to us through your word and through your messenger this morning.
Lord.
Bless Pastor Bruce. Give him courage and strength and help him to preach with clarity and precision. And ultimately, let your anointing be over him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 21, I'll be making some references as we go through Matthew chapter 21. So I do want you to take note of some of those things that weren't mentioned in the reading, because it came from a different part of the Scriptures. So if you could turn to Matthew chapter 21 so you can have it handy, and then we'll all kind of be on the same page together. The story today is about the story of choices, and not choices. There are things that you choose to do, and there are things that are chosen for you. But there are options today for us to believe in both the providence of God and the free will of man. And sometimes we think that these two things are absolutely two separate things on different poles, like the North Pole and the South Pole. And there are institutions, denominations that look at these two things as being one or the other. Providence over here, or do you believe in free will? Well, I believe that they run on a track parallel to each other. And that as you look at the scriptures, you will find in almost every story the providence of God and the free will of man working together. You will look at your life and you will see the providence of God. What happens usually is you have to go through something, get through it, and then look back and see the providence of God. In the time, it's all about the choices of man. It's the free will of men. Men did this to me, or I made this choice, and I found myself in this situation or not. But when you get through it and you look back, you can see the providence of God. It was there all the time. Last Sunday, Pastor Dan preached on the providence of God. Real good word, brother, wherever he is. Good word on the providence of God. In fact, you know it's a good word because you leave the church service thinking about the message, thinking about the providence of God, and thinking about what's going on around you. The first thing that took place after church is my wife said, let's go to Louis for lunch. And that's going to cost me money. And that was the free will of man. It couldn't have been the providence of God. But I said, okay, Lord, thy will be done. Because I was hungry. And then we get to lunch and we meet people that I've been praying for and wanting to talk to for some time and wondering, I should phone them about something. And here they were standing right there as soon as we came in. I said, oh, the providence of God. And then a quite a chatty fellow that I know came over to our table and sat down and said, do you mind if I join you? And my wife kind of likes the personal private time at lunch, you know. And there was no nudge. There was no kick under the table or nothing. And I said, the providence of God. And he stayed the entire time and brought his wife over. And we ended up praying with them. And I thought, well, the providence of God. And then on the way home, we ran over a cat. And I said, thy will be done. And then, no, we didn't run over a cat on the way home. But, you know, things happen. We go, is this the will of God or is this us? And it's hard to know. A true story that happened past week that's on more of a serious kind of level is that a 20-year-old driver was both drinking and texting. Now, there's a real great combination. On a Texas highway, and he went from his lane and drifted into the lane oncoming and hit a minibus of seniors from a Baptist church who were just coming from a convention of seniors. They were part of they were the choir. That was the entire choir. And 13 of them were killed. Only one survived. And of course, the young man, because the ones texting and the ones drinking always survive, right? And so this group of 13 seniors that were killed, 14 of them, you know, this pickup truck that just drifted into that lane, we kind of asked the question, where's the will of God and where's the providence of God? Well, I went online to the Southern Baptist, because they were Southern Baptists, onto their website, and Reverend Jim Richards, who is the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention in Texas, he said this, he said, because of Jesus, these precious saints of God who left this earth shed the confines of their flesh to enter into the glorious presence of our Lord and Savior. We stand together today with the pastor and with the church in continual prayer. Then it went on to say this about the one survivor, Rose Harris. She was the young one. She was the kid on the bus. She was 67. She survived, and the message that came was from the Southern Baptist website. It said it was a miracle of God that she survived this crash. God gave her a miracle. Why did she get a miracle? And why did her 13 friends not? You want to be a skeptic for a minute? Let's be a little skeptical. Was it because she was younger? She was a young 67. The average age on the bus was in the 80s. And in fact, there was nobody in their 70s. They were all 80s or 67. And so we say this, she was the younger one. God, we're trying to figure out the plan of God. Us little people with a little tiny little brain like that, we're going to figure out God's plan here. All right, we're using our own cognitive abilities. And so, let us figure out the plan of God. Well, it's because she was younger. The miracle of God happened because she was younger and she had so much more life to live. Don't like that one? Try another one. She had the miracle of God because her husband, the other ones are widowers and whatnot, and she had a husband, and he prayed for her before they left, and he pled the blood of Jesus, and he prayed the traveling mercies of God over her, and none of the other ones had a husband or a wife to pray those things over, and so she had the miracle of God. You don't like that one? That was a good one, I thought. Or how about this one? How about she sat in that seat, the only safe seat on that minibus. It was the safest seat, and God directed her to sit in that seat, and she sat in that particular seat, and that is why she had a miracle of God. How was this the providence of God? How was this the will of God? If only they had known, they were only 6 miles outside of the convention. They'd been to the convention, they were at the convention, and they were only 6 miles out of the convention place in Texas. And if they had known, they would have left a half hour later, I would think, or a half hour earlier, or even 15 minutes. I mean, what would be the difference between that young man drifting and if they had have left 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier? If the if somebody on board said, "I got to go to the bathroom," happens. 15 minutes later, some of us a little longer, some of us a little less. You go. Somebody had a bad prostate. It took them 20 minutes. I don't know. They're old folks. Would that have made a difference? If they had have known they were going to die on this trip, would they have changed their plans? Well, in our story today, Jesus knew that in his trip, he was going to die. And he knew it was the will of God, and he knew it was the plan of God, and he knew it was the providence of God that was sending them there, and he went anyways. He knew that his next trip to Jerusalem would be his last. Passover was soon coming, and the Lamb of God would be slain for the sins of the whole world. The crowd cheered Jesus on, but listen, they didn't even know who Jesus was. We talked about this actually earlier in prayer downstairs. They didn't even understand who they were praising. They didn't understand who they were cheering for. If you have your Bible open to Matthew 21, you'll find in verse 11 or verse 10, it says this. And it's actually in our reading as well this morning. It says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, all of the city was in a uproar or was stirred up, asking the question, who is this? They didn't know. A lot of people from a lot of different places were gathered in Jerusalem that day, and they did not know who Jesus was. And so the crowd, it's interesting, verse 11, the crowd speaks to the crowd. Sometimes the crowd gets it right. Sometimes the crowd doesn't get it right. Sometimes the crowd gets half it right. Sometimes the crowd gets a three-quarters of it right. As a message, as gossip spreads around, sometimes it starts out more or less right, and by the time it gets to you, you've all got it messed up. And then you pass it on to somebody else, and you feel stupid because it wasn't that way at all. Well, the crowd spoke to the crowd. Verse 11, I like it in the NASB or the NIV, it says this, and the crowds, King James says, and the multitudes, plural. A multitudes is a multi of tudes, okay? A lot of tudes, all right? So it's the crowds That means there were various crowds. There were different groups. There were different people that were there. The crowds said to the crowd, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." See, what happened was in this story was there was a crescendo that was taking place. It began in Bethany, and the first crowd of the crowds was the disciples. And they were pretty geared up. They had went and they had just experienced miracle after miracle. Most recently was the resurrection of Lazarus. That was a pretty big deal. And then, of course, there was this, you know, these neat little things that God did, like knowing that, you know, a father-in-law wanted to have stew. Well, in this case, it was knowing when they went to get the colt, and they said, "The Lord hath need of it." And they just said, "Okay, take it." And he was there just as Jesus said. And the little things, they were excited about the little things, and they were excited about the big things, the resurrection of Lazarus. And that was the first crowd. And so they were coming down the road, and there would be another crowd, and that was the Bethany or Bethpage crowd that was with them. And they were joining in, and they were saying, "Who is this?" And the disciples would be the first ones. They said, "This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Maybe that was what they said. But as they come down, this crowd meets another crowd. What is this crowd? It's the pilgrims. It's Passover time. All of the people from all different nations are coming and gathering. And so there are travelers on the road. And so Beth, it's packed. It's a jam-packed highway, if you can imagine, you know, the Queensway at 8 o'clock in the morning. All right? It's a jam-packed. Everybody's on their way into Jerusalem. And the first crowd talks to the next crowd because they asked, "Who is this?" And they say, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And then those crowds come together and they get closer to the city, and there's the crowd of people that have tented all around outside of the city because they have gathered and they are staying there. And that crowd asks, "Who is this?" And the crowd speaks to the crowd and says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a prophet or something. I don't know. Whatever." And then that crowd, you know, the place of the gate of the city is a place where business takes place. It's the marketplace. It's the businessmen. It's the transaction place. The technical term would be the lawyers today, or the scribes are there, and different ones are there. And as they come into the marketplace, then that marketplace, the business people crowd says, "Who is this?" And the crowd, "Well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a prophet. Guy from Galilee." And then, it's getting pretty big, but then there's another crowd. There is the crowd of the civil servants, those that work in the temple, because Jerusalem is a capital city, and you have the workers of the government. You just like kind of like Ottawa, and you have all these people that are heading to the temple, and the priests and the soldiers and all of that. And that crowd is asking, "What's going on?" Each wave of the crowd would tell the next wave of the crowd and would keep rolling down the highway without any change of heart, without any repentance of sin, without any deep contemplation with what was going on. Just a choice that each one made on the spot, on the moment, to join in. Friends, like never before in history, today the crowd speaks to the crowd. On the internet, as it begins to build and it rolls through your Facebook page and you like it. You know, literally, you click like. Or you share it, or whatever it may be, as the crescendo comes and you join in with whatever it is. And you get all caught up in it. I warn you today, the crowd can be fickle. The crowd can change. The crowd can turn on you. I think we can go back to 2,000 years ago and find out that you got to be careful when you join in with the crowd. That crowd, going back to my story about the seniors that were killed in the bus, I looked on a couple of websites. There was first the Convention Baptist website, and of course all of the crowd there. I never usually go down to the comments. That's kind of a waste of time for me, you know. But this time I was looking and searching, so I went down on the Baptist website, and there was prayers and the crowd, you know, on a Christian website, you know, oh, we're praying, and lots of comments. God help them. God be with their families. The crowd was gathering as the comments grew from started off, and there would become 50, 60, 70. I don't know how many comments there were, just as people began to join the crowd. Then I went to a secular news website and the story, and then I went down to the comments. So the crowd can be fickle, friends. Here were some of the comments on this crowd. Well, some Christian, here was a Christian, here's the first one. The Lord works in mysterious ways. We're praying for angels. Okay, let's think through this. This is the Lord. And praying for angels. Where were the angels when you needed them? Okay. Here's the next, it gets worse. This proves it should be a law in the state of Texas that all buses have seat belts. Okay, so this happened. You know, God's will, providence. These 13 people's lives were snuffed out so that they could change that would put pressure on the government to put seat belts in buses. Gets worse. I've been to that town in Texas. They're all better off dead. And it gets worse. I thank God for clearing out those old Trump voting fogies. The more of them that die off, the better we are off as a nation. There's another one. That fellow was likely an illegal alien up here on a drug run. This will help us get that wall built. So that's why they died. So that, get that wall built. Friends, it goes on. This is the crowd. Friend, the crowd is a fickle bunch. The crowd can turn on you. I'd be very careful when you join the crowd. Today they cheer for you, and tomorrow they shout you down. This week they choose to sympathize with you and hail you as a hero, but by the end of the week they want to crucify you and call you a zero. See, that is their free will in action. Have you ever been caught up in the crowd? I think we all have, friends, and I think more and more we get involved in the crowd. We all have on the internet or in business or in school. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on us to join the crowd. Sometimes it's good. It's not that bad. I mean, what? It wasn't that bad a deal, shouting Hosanna, shouting Scripture, shouting wonderful things to Jesus. I mean, it was nice when the crowd was on our side. Every now and then, friends, the crowd is on my side. It is getting rarer and rarer all the time. But there are times when the crowd is with me. And they're shouting the same thing that I'm shouting, lower taxes, you know, get rid of Ontario Hydro bills down, you know. I'm there and I'm going, yeah. Every now and then the crowd's with me. You know, see, you got an amen? You know. Every now and then the crowd's right. But we can't trust the crowd, friends. Let's look at the free will of the crowd, and let's go back to another player in this whole scene, the colt. There's the little colt who represents the sovereign plan of God. In this story, Jesus is operating fully in the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit because Jesus walked in the Spirit and he fulfilled the power of God and he fulfilled things that we can fulfill today. If we walk in the Spirit, we can have the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and God's in the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, the plan of God was being revealed as he walked And as we walk in relationship with the Father, the plan of God can be revealed as we walk. I don't believe that Jesus necessarily 6 days before this happened knew that there was a colt at a certain place in a certain stable and they were to go to it. But he, at that moment, he did. He knew it. God revealed, we call it a word of knowledge, whatever. And he knew that there was a colt that was there. He knew the scriptures. He began to see the unfolding plan of the Father. Oh, yeah, that fits. Yeah, that's the Word of God coming together there. Jesus fully knew the Word. And he revealed, he was a conduit for the Word of God. He revealed the Word of God, and he revealed the plan of God to his disciples. And he got them. Isn't it fun to be part of what Jesus is doing, friends? Isn't it nice to be part of what God is doing? That requires an amen or something. You know, I mean, to be part of the plan, to be part of the action. Jesus says, over here, something is happening. Would you go over there? And you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go over there. You don't sit back and say, well, you know, I mean, come on. He said this in Luke 19. It says that, let's just look up here, go back. I think it's back, the scriptures are back. In Luke 19, he said this. It's somewhere. Look in your Bibles. Luke 19, he tells the disciples, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, one which no one has ever ridden. That's a fulfillment of the scriptures. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are untying it, tell him the Lord need it. I like the King James. The Lord hath need of it. The Lord hath need of it. Here's a point. I would love it to be said of my life that I was chosen by a sovereign God because the Lord hath need of me. As opposed to have it said of my life that I was just part of the cheering crowd that chose by their own free will to praise Him. I'd rather be a colt than the crowd. I'll tell you something, the Lord doesn't need a crowd. What am I saying? The Lord doesn't need a crowd. He wanted a colt. He didn't just want a colt, he needed a colt. Why? He needed a colt because that was the fulfillment of the Word of God. That was the fulfillment of Scripture. He did not need a crowd to fulfill Scripture, but he did need a colt because that's what the Word of God said. The crowd was a nice extra. The crowd even yelled scriptural truth. But the heart of the crowd was a diversion to the plan of God. It was not the plan of God. The colt, the donkey, and there are some other words for donkeys. The colt, that's because I'd rather be one than a crowd. You know, the colt, the little animal, was a fulfillment of Scripture. The colt was part of God's sovereign plan, but the crowd was actually a diversion to the plan, because in the heart of the crowd, it was that they wanted Him to become king now. They wanted Him to deliver them from the Roman government now. They wanted Him to establish a physical kingdom on earth now. You see, their heart was not in tune with the plan of God. They were shouting the right things, but their heart was not in it. They were not following the Holy Ghost will and plan of God in what they were doing. They thought this is just like the Passover hundreds of years ago when God delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians. And now Jesus is here and He is going to deliver us out of the hands of the Romans. Clearly the disciples, when it came to the colt, they knew, they did not know the donkey's owners. Otherwise Jesus would have simply said, go to the donkey that I have already asked and I've made this deal with these people and go ask so-and-so about that. And then when you get there, they'll, we've made a deal. No. He said, if they ask Say, the Lord hath need of it. They did ask. St. Luke then records that when the disciples did go and fetch the donkey, the owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? If you want to know what the penalty was for being a horse thief back in that day, all you have to do is look at the other two fellas who were crucified with Jesus Christ. Because horse thieving then is the same as the Wild West. You got hung. In this case, though, you got hung on a cross. That was the penalty for stealing. You know what a donkey meant in the industry? That's like taking somebody's truck, you know. That's taking somebody's future, their future business, the future business of their children. You know, they're, you know, you have one donkey and it has a foal, and you steal that, you've robbed the future of that family's economy. It was serious business. But the question here is, if God can use an unbroken, small, stinky donkey to fulfill his great kingdom plans, then perhaps he has a specific plan for me as well. Hallelujah. The colt was unbroken, and God used him. We are broken, and God uses us. He'll even use the things that make us broken to build up his kingdom. You know, Jesus didn't call the equipped, he equipped the called. And no matter what you've been through in life, remember that the same power that conquered the grave lives within each one of us that knows the Lord. You are worthy of life. You are worthy of God's love. You are worthy of joy. You are worthy of fulfilling purpose that it takes place never imagined before, not because of who you are, but because he has chosen you. There's a picture of a wall of broken pieces that I put up in Istanbul. The part of the interesting thing they do is they build walls out of broken pottery things and whatever else. And, you know, each broken piece by itself looks pretty sad. You know, when you break something, it's sad. But put all the broken pieces together, it makes a wall. Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ is something that he is building. He will build his church, friends. And he will choose to use the weak vessels. He will choose to take the broken vessels. He will choose to take the weakest amongst us, the least amongst us, and he will have a place on the kingdom wall for us that will shine. It will keep the enemy out of our homes. It will keep the enemy from prospering or succeeding in many things of people around us. If we will allow God to just let us be the place in the wall that he wants us to be. Don't fight the Lord on it. He's got a plan for us. I don't mind being a donkey. If it means that I'm submitting to the plan of God. Friends, the crowd comes and the crowd goes. Someday they get it right. Sometimes they get it right. And some days they get it oh so wrong. We need to learn, friends, that it's not the majority that's right. Just because the majority does something does not make it right, does not mean anything necessarily, because a week from now they may be yelling, crucifying, crucify, crucify. Winston Churchill, the great politician and leader, he said this about parliamentary democracy. He said the democracy, the system that we have, is the worst system of government in the world, except, of course, for all the others. He said, because it's mob rule. And occasionally, he said, the mob gets it right. Oh. We put our trust in so many different things. Friends, the crowd rarely gets it right, but God gets it right every single time. If God has chosen you, he has not made a mistake. Can you tell yourself that? If God has chosen you, He has not made a mistake. You could say, well, I'm only the littlest in all of Israel, as Brother Gideon said so many years before that. You can say, make whatever your excuses, or I've got this problem, or I've got that problem, or I've got this disability, or that disability, or I've got this issue going on in my life. It does not matter. If God has chosen you, He has not made a mistake. If you have chosen God, then you finally got it right. But only because He's already chosen you. 1 John says this, chapter 4 and verse 9. We'll close with this text of Scripture. Next one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Maybe I didn't put it up there. Yes, it is there, 1 John 4 and 9. We love Him because He first loved us. He didn't pick you, friends, because you were part of the crowd. He picked you because you were tied up in bondage, in servitude to some other master. And He said, I see something in there that will fulfill the plan of God. And so what did He tell His disciples to do? Go and loose. I love that. I could preach another sermon on that. Loose the colt. Let me say this. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Have you been freed by the Master? I know the Lord has laid His hand on me. I know the Lord has laid His hand on me. If I live the holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord has laid His hand on me. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, today, and I sense Your hand. I sense Your hand on individuals today. I sense Your hand upon this people, Father God. This is not a shouting crowd, but this is a group of donkeys that You have set free. Individually, we were tied up. Individually, we were owned by someone else. We've been unbroken or broken or whatever. And the Lord said, yes, this is the one that will bring me in. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your choice. Thank You for choosing me. It wasn't about how loud I shouted in the crowd. It wasn't about how good looking I was in the crowd and that I stood out. It wasn't about anything to do with the crowd. But because You love me. And Father, I pray for each individual person that's here today that, Father God, that You will minister to them. Right now, there are those that are here that are sensing an unworthiness that is not from God, that are sensing an unworthiness that is from the enemy, sensing that God can't use me, that God can't use me because I'm tied up, because this is the situation, or I've got this going on in my life, or that going on in my life. And God is saying, I want you for My kingdom. I am not calling the crowd. I am calling you. I don't care what they're saying around you. I don't care what they're saying at work. I don't care what they're saying at school. I don't care what they're saying on the internet. I'm calling you to be free. Did your spirit just leap when I said that? Did your spirit just leap? Did something happen inside of you when I said that I'm calling you to be free? Father God, I pray for each one here today that is sensing the Spirit of the living God, putting His hands on them and affirming today, I have chosen You to serve me. Father God, we thank You, Lord. And we submit to Your sovereign plan, Your choice, Lord. And that's where our free will responds to Your providence. In Jesus' name.